Now let us turn back to Scripture for our second reading, which comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Let us listen again for God's word to us this day. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy, Jesus, stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. And they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" They did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Jerusalem and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all of these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. By the breath of your Spirit, inspire us, O God, that in the hearing of your word we may be filled with new understanding and with fresh desires to please you in all that we do, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I have some good news for you this morning, and I have some different news. I'll start with the good. The child of Mary and Joseph, whose birth we've been expecting and celebrating these past few weeks, well, he has been born to us. That's the good news. If you were with us on Thursday night, we kept vigil here in the rain and in the not-so-cold. We were singing songs, telling stories of this special birth that was foretold by the prophets of old. We lit candles. We prayed and embraced. We wished one another a Merry Christmas. It truly was the eve of our Redeemer's birth, for sometime early Friday morning, we received word from some scrappy farmhands passing through town, and then a whole host of heavenly beings, that a baby they're calling Jesus came into the world. We don't know his birth weight or his length, because, and this is hard to wrap your head around, there were no midwives. There were no medical professionals there. Just some farm animals, in fact. The Holy Family was homeless when Mary delivered. I know, that's shocking. Apparently, the child was delivered in a barn. The little rural town of Bethlehem. Why lies he in such mean a state where ox and ass are feeding, you might ask? Well, still shockingly, this holy refugee family was not welcomed into any local healthcare facility. Nobody took them into their homes. Matthew says that Herod feared this child. And that fear was stoked in the hearts of the people, so they turned away from them in their time of need. Nevertheless, he was born. Some are saying it was a silent night. A few women I know are a bit skeptical about that. No doubt it was a holy night. So that's the good news. Jesus has been born, leaving the safety of his heavenly parents' bosom and entering the reality of our world. The good news is that Jesus has been born to us this Christmas. Glory. Glory to the newborn King. Now for the different news. Get ready for this. He's a preteen. Yes, I know. Time flies. They grow up so quickly, don't they? And the little gentle Lord Jesus, no crying he made, is now a 12-year-old boy. It doesn't get more real than that, I think. So I often hear that the Bible is difficult to understand, and I don't dispute that fact. But the claim that it doesn't seem to be very relevant to our modern lives, I take some issue with that, especially when we come upon stories like this one from Luke's gospel. Anyone who has ever found themselves caring for a child can put themselves into the place of Mary and Joseph here. And any of you children that are here, I bet that you can put yourself in the place of Jesus that day, right? Have you ever had a time when your parents were worried about you? Ever had a time when maybe you couldn't find them for a little while? It's a pretty relatable feeling. I see some nods. My parents are here today, so I'll take this opportunity to tell a story about Christmas when I was a kid. They know this is coming. We talked about it at Christmas, and apparently some of the facts are in dispute, but here's the truth. One Christmas day, after all of the presents were opened, we packed up the green Plymouth Voyager family minivan, and we drove from South Georgia to North Carolina to spend a few days in the mountains. I think it was the first time that my sisters and I had ever seen the snow, so it was a truly white Christmas. And in our humble attempt at a Rockwell painting moment, we borrowed some snow gear and found some sleds and then located a good hill for sledding. We had a great time marching up and sledding down, and when the time came to go to lunch, we were truly exhausted. We began the hike back to the cabin, and at some point, I must have stopped to examine something along the way, maybe make a snowball. I was a distractible kid. When I looked up, my family, they were gone. I was officially lost. There were several paths to take from this place where I was standing. I didn't know which one of them led to our cabin. In heavy, wet snow pants and a too big jacket, I marched down one path, but after a little ways, it didn't look right, so I marched back. I went back to the hill where we had been sledding. They weren't there waiting for me. I called out to them. I called out, but my voice had just echoed back from the snowy hills, and I began to panic. I started to run down another path, thinking I would find a house, and maybe someone there could help me, but I didn't know the phone number to the cabin, and there were no cell phones at this time, at least not ones outside of bags. But then finally, I began to find my bearings. The road started to look familiar, and then, great relief, I found our cabin. I opened the door, and much to my surprise, there was my family, putting lunch on the table. I could not believe that they weren't out in a panic, searching for me. I'd been gone for probably 10 minutes. How could they not have alerted the authorities? Where were the bloodhounds? I imagined my mother running to embrace me like Kevin McAllister's mom in Home Alone. And a firefighter throwing a wool blanket over my shoulder. Some kindly Red Cross worker putting a warm cup of hot cocoa in my hands. But no, they were unfazed. My sisters were already at the table eating their lunch. Surely they must have missed me. My mom put a grilled cheese sandwich in my hands, told me there was soup on the stove. My relief quickly gave way to anger. I was missing! I've been searching for you in great anxiety. I think my dad checked his watch. What if Jesus had checked his watch when his parents arrived? Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know I'd be here? His parents were astonished. I can relate. If you think the Bible is hard to relate to, I invite you to spend some time with Luke's gospel. Because Luke in particular wants us to know just how human Jesus and his family are. When you look at some of the paintings of the Holy Family throughout the centuries, they appear as a glowing group of royal Europeans posing for a family Christmas card. The barnyard animals are oddly pet-like. The gospel tells a little bit of a different story here. First, they weren't white. They were Arabs from the Middle East. And they weren't always beaming about their situation. It was hard. I mean, Joseph almost bolted at the very beginning of the story, and then he doesn't speak the rest of the time. Mary is confused and astonished most of the time, and in this scene, they are panicked, and then they are angry. The incarnation of God is not without its costs on the human Jesus and the people around him who had to deal with a son, a brother, a teacher, a friend who was also the Messiah, the Savior of all people. So I invite you to read Luke this week and then watch Mary as she appears throughout the story. Watch her at the beginning of Luke when the angel visited her. Watch her when she takes her infant into the temple and Simeon and Anna grab her and declare in no uncertain terms that this baby is special. And then they look her right in the face and say, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." Watch Mary as she searches for her lost child. The Gospels, they want us to notice the humanity of this family. They want us to relate. We receive a gift beyond measure in the life of Jesus, in his death and in his resurrection. We receive a grace upon grace. What does that gift mean to you this Christmas? How do you respond to this gift? We have been given the ability to respond to this gift. It is our responsibility to respond. This gift comes to us through a very real human baby who grows into a very real 12-year-old boy who becomes a man. This is a true story. They called him Joshua. We call him Jesus from the Greek. He has a family that cares about him. Taking time to let these things sink in, it's not, I want to be clear about this, it's not about feeling guilty for the cost, but it is about realizing there is a real sacrifice to this. Our ability to be called children of God, to be members of this church, Morningside, to know that we have been forgiven of our sins week after week after week when we gather here, to know that we are being invited, we get to participate with God and be part of God's work of caring for others. The fact that we will be with God in heaven when we die, these things all become very real for us in a very human family, in this little boy with his mama and his daddy who loved him, who cared for him, and who worried about him. Think about all of the children that we know who have folks who care for them and worry about them. Think about all of the children in this city and this world who do not have anybody worrying about them. God knows what it means to worry about vulnerable children. Just look at Mary and Joseph. God cares about each and every child in this world, no matter their race, their religion, their orientation, their status. Look at Mary and Joseph. 12-year-old Jesus was missing for a day when his parents noticed. They were a devout Jewish family returning home from their Passover pilgrimage to the major city of Jerusalem. They were traveling in a large group, so it would not have been uncommon for Mary and Joseph to assume that he was just somewhere in the pack, probably off with some kids his own age. But at the end of the first day's travel, they realized that this was in fact not the case. Worried, but perhaps not yet panicked, they returned to Jerusalem. It's 48 hours. After one day looking, they didn't find him. Now, maybe panic has set in. I don't know if they slept that night, but they searched the next day, too. No sign of their son. The third day, this is now 5 days total? Yes. They searched, and then finally in the temple, they found him sitting amongst the rabbis, listening to them, learning from them, asking them questions. What a relief. And then Luke tells us Mary was astonished. I bet. Maybe we could read this as a kindly mother, relieved that he was okay, just so proud of him for wowing all of these great teachers. I think Mary's reaction is a little more relatable than that. Child, why have you treated us like this? Look. Look at me. Look, your father. Your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety. There is a cost to be the earthly parents of this human, yet also fully divine, preteen. The cost is very apparent to Mary and Joseph. The sixth grader looks at him, and with all sincerity and all childish naivety, says, "Well, why were you searching for me?" "And a soul will pierce your own soul too, Mary." "Why were you searching for me? We love you. We have to protect you." "Well, did you not know that I would be in my father's house?" They didn't know. They can't know. How could they imagine? How could they entertain this? It's too wonderful that their child will be our hope. That this means that we have access to unconditional love, grace, forever. It's too terrible because there is a cost. Here he is. Here she is. Here they are. He is our God and our Creator. He is in the flesh of a sixth grade boy. It says he went home and he was obedient to them for a time. What do we do with this gift? It has come to us with a great cost, but also it brings us great joy. Amen.